And now, live from the studios, of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here not because of the path behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought machines, and after a century of war, I remember that which matters most.
First, to apologize for this
emergency channel.
I do, like many of you, appreciate the comforts of the everyday routine, the security of the familiar, the tranquility, repetition.
Bloody hell.
I enjoy them as much as any bloke. But in the spirit of commemoration, whereby those important events of the past, usually associated with someone's death or the end of some awful bloody struggle, are celebrated with a nice holiday, I thought we could mark this November the 5th, a day that is sadly no longer remembered, by taking some time out of our daily lives to sit down and have a little chat. There are, of course, those who do not want us to speak.
Let me think.
Even now, orders are being shouted into telephones, and men with guns will soon be on their way.
It's Chancellor Sutler.
Damn it!
Why? Because while the truncheon may be used in lieu of conversation, words will always retain their power. Words offer the means to meaning, and for those who will listen, the enunciation of truth. And the truth is, there is something terribly wrong with this country, isn't there?
You designed it, sir. You wanted it foolproof. You told me every television in London.
Cruelty and injustice, intolerance and oppression. And where once you had the freedom to object, to think and speak as you saw fit, you now have sensors and systems of surveillance coercing your conformity and surveilling your submission.
We need cameras.
How did this happen? Who's to blame? Well, certainly there are those who are more responsible than others, and they will be held accountable. But again, truth be told, if you're looking for the guilty, you need only look into a mirror. I know why you did it. I know you were afraid. Who wouldn't be? War, terror, disease. There were a myriad of problems which conspired to come. Fear got the best of you, and in your panic you turned to the now High Chancellor Adam Sutler. He promised you order, he promised you peace, and all he demanded in return was your silent, obedient consent.
Inspector, you're almost through.
Last night, I sought to end that silence. Last night, I destroyed the Old Bailey to remind this country of what it has forgotten.
More than 400 years ago, a great citizen wished to embed the 5th of November forever in our memory. His hope was to remind the world that fairness, justice, and freedom are more than words. They are perspectives. So if you've seen nothing, if the crimes of this government remain unknown to you, then I would suggest that you allow the 5th of November to pass unmarked. But if you see what I see, if you feel as I feel, and if you would seek as I seek, then I ask you to stand beside me 1 year from tonight, outside the gates of Parliament, and together we shall give them a 5th of November that shall never, ever be forgotten.
Yep. Have you ever seen that before, Ralph? You know, that's a new one. You want to watch a movie now?
Oh, yeah.
You haven't seen it. You better get on it.
Yeah, I will.
And what the point is of that, I was in 06, 07, I think. No, it was 05.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it was I think it was 05.
When this came out?
Yeah. Yeah. And when it did, a friend of mine, is a talk show host, a friend of mine I used to produce for, named Charles Goyette. His son worked at Warner Brothers. And he calls his dad and he says, "Hey, man, I just saw the screening for this." You go, "Whoa, wait a few months. This is going to kick ass." So we were waiting for it. So I go, "Oh, it didn't disappoint. Oh, this is good. You know, this is like Matrix kind of stuff." Yeah, I think the Wachowski brothers did this.
Yeah,
or
yeah,
siblings or whatever they are now. So I'm going, this is the same. It's, you can see the future through this right here. It was coronavirus. That's what started this whole thing and how they used it for power. I don't know how this is not going to be a meme coming out our butt, you know. And I know why you did it.
I didn't initially make the connection. Yeah, you said, oh, we should watch that. We should watch that. Same thing that's going on right now. I didn't really get it. And I watched and I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, it is.
It kind of surprised you?
Yeah. Well, I remembered early that it was – I didn't even remember this was about a virus. So I think the memes will come out. I think people will start making the connection. But it took me a minute.
This is why they needed to get control of the internet, because people make this connection. You're surprised you haven't seen more of it because what happens? They say, nope, that's not – you know, we've got to have 15 gazillion sensors, you know, on the internet. Bring it down. And that's why all this Q and the Anon Trump stuff, have you been hearing about this? So Q and the Anon stuff, they do everything in memes because they can't automatically censor it. They have to physically go up and try and do it because memes, it's just a graphic.
Until they can. Yeah.
Until they can. Yeah, it's going to be AI going, it looks like, and kind of whatever. You know, it's just, it's so that's why it's so important that we have our own uncensorable, decentralized, every file all over the world, internet, which is what Derek is building right now. We already got it. You go on right here. I'm going to show you something. This is, you know, this is Co. You go into, like, the show that we did yesterday. You go in on Freedom's Phoenix here. And I don't know, can we do my screen?
And we can't do your computer screen, no.
Oh, okay, we got it. Well, we'll be able to. You go into the show. And or any of our shows or articles. Let me see. It's probably easier for an article. Yeah, I don't think the media is as IPFS links.
Well, we have
on
the the media's don't. I have the media's excluded presently, but you can do it on that computer over there. I can bring that up.
Okay. Yeah, just go into, you know, an article. Yeah, I can do this. Okay, here we go. So you go in down. It's more than 24 hours. So when it's a 24-hour article, you know, like I did. This one here, how to stay healthy, something. This article. Now, if it's over 24 hours, it's up there on the site, and then you see this little thing right there? That's IPFS, Interplanetary File System. And you go and you click on it, and sometimes it takes a little while, and sometimes it's really fast. You see, that was really fast, man. This is IPFS.io. This hash, this address, is on the internet forever. Well, he didn't like me saying forever, but there's no way for them to take it down unless they take down, like, the planet. This is done. That's what we're building. So that all this stuff they want to do away, like that video, the guy go, nah. You feel me, Ralph?
Yeah.
Come on. Derek, this guy has been in your midst all this time. You just didn't know how to use him. We're going to help you. I think, don't you think we need to make Bangor, like, super free, Orno? You know, start a little bitty baby Orno.
The issue up here is that we really are. Comparatively, we really are. It's an incredible place. You know, we went to the truck shop there, and there's an InfoWars sticker, Hillary Prison, on the thing. And then we went over to the tire shop, and there's a bunch of Shooter's magazines in the waiting room, and you open it up, and they're selling silver and gold. You know, I mean, New England gets a bad rap because of Massachusetts, Southern Maine, Bernie. But up here, we're pretty free. You know, we can go and build stuff in our backyard. I'm working on this building. Nobody stopped by and said, I need a permit for this or that. I mean, we really, there really is a good feeling here of being able to do it. Now, I'm still upset about a lot of the things that they get involved with and that they tell me I have to do. But we're pretty good, and I think that's why... That's why there's not. That's why we don't get together very often, because we're busy. We can still do stuff. You know, Dana has his garden. He can go grow his garden, grow his food
on his farmette. I call it
farmette.
What do you call it? His farmette.
Farmette. Yeah. But you know, we read stories about people in other areas where they're growing a garden in the front yard, and the city's shutting them down. You can't
have tomato. If it produces fruit, you're not allowed.
Yeah, don't. We don't see that. We don't see that here.
What's that about?
We challenge that. Yeah, we're like, oh, I love it when you guys do that. Let's play. Final party at Hancock's. From the sixth letter of Captain Mark.
A pirate's life is characterized by voluntary interactions. Unfortunately, the crown presses everyone into involuntary servitude. Landlubbers believe slavery was abolished years ago, but the crown still claims to own us when it crimps us into service against our will. Given sufficient ambition, it would gladly draft thousands of hapless victims to kill or be killed. It's simply slavery by another name. Landlubbers are routinely commanded to serve the so-called justice system in jury duty. But before you swell with civic pride, consider that how you feel is irrelevant to the crown. You will appear as ordered or face punitive measures. The crown insists that you participate in your own oppression. A jury summons provides pirates with a unique opportunity to obstruct injustices. A juror can vote not guilty, even if it's proven the law was violated. A juror can acquit for any reason at all, and not even a judge can reverse that verdict. Receiving a jury summons is basically winning the sedition lottery. But if you reveal that you know this during jury selection, you'll probably be dismissed. If the crown foolishly crimps a pirate into jury duty, it behooves the pirate to conceal their intention to nullify unjust laws. If a master takes 100% of your labor, it's called slavery. But if they only take 50%, they call it taxation, a difference of degree, not of kind. Whether the crown claims a fortune or a cent is irrelevant. Most of all, a slave owner desires contented slaves, meaning thoughtless ones that accept their bondage. These house slaves see no contradiction in being drafted in a war to end slavery or summoned to a jury to prosecute tax evasion. An ideal slave knows no higher call than the master's will. The crown's highest ambition is that its slaves revere the authority that subjugates them. But the crown does not own me. I will not surrender my time and treasure to the crown's ambitions. Join the conversation at piratewithoutborders.com.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Hey, we're back in Bangor, Maine, working out the stuff. We got some capability. Derek's over there playing. He's playing. Producer.
Video producer.
Your video producer.
It's fun.
You can see. That's what, when I produced for Charles, that was the best job I ever had because he was a great talk show host. He read all the books. We had somebody come on. He actually read their book, you know. And I'm going, you know, this is awesome. So I had installed to where I could play clips from my computer and the producer, and he had the control board guy. And then I sat, you know, back behind him at a station, and I could just, I didn't do it often because, you know, Charles doesn't like being interrupted, but no host does. But I'd be, you know, he'd say, and I go, boom, just a gigolo everywhere. I mean, you know, I'd always have something that I'd, you know, inject. And then we had text that we could talk back and forth. I got the guest, you know, I get whoever he wanted, but then I'd fill in, I'd get, you know, whoever I wanted, whatever. The producer is the power. That is the one behind. I mean, of course, the host, you know, is, you know, important and so on. But, you know, the producer, you get to do what you want. And you're not distracted while they're blathering about something. I'm pulling up stuff, sending links, doing that is the power.
Yeah, yeah. You know, this bus setup is going to be great because Donna will have her own station there, and she can. This bus stuff's going to be great. Donna can have her own station there, and she can, you know, control the PC. That's been her frustration, the way the studio down there is set up right now. She can't really access some of the things.
Yeah, she always has to come around me and pushing buttons and getting guests on, and she's, you know, she has to get up. And you do it all from her station, she's going to love some Derek.
Yep.
You know, so you hear that, Donna? He's going to pimp you out. So you're going to pimp your producer table, you know. So he's going to do that. So Ralph, you know, how many more seconds? Yeah, we got a couple more seconds. We got three more segments, man. We're going to party, you know. You know, what are the things that, you know, Derek's feeling he's pretty free up here. You feeling pretty free? Bangor's got it going on, you think?
Not after the vote on the shots, the vaccines, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That was terribly defeated here. 3-1.
If you're looking for that, yeah, I mean, you want to send your kids to school, and they're saying now you can't send your kids to school unless they're vaccinated. But, you know, how many people are just going to go get their kids vaccinated and send their kids to school when they don't want to get their kids vaccinated?
I don't know. I
can't do it with mine.
Yeah, that's your choice. I mean, hopefully a lot of other people join you and say, well, I'm just not going to inject my kids with stuff. Well,
if you came down here and had homeschooled Derek learn Arduino maker bot hack, has he been up to your stuff here? Is he in the tour?
I think
here?
This is the first time you've been over to the shop, so we're going to walk around Dana and Ralph the other night were asking about making signs and stuff, and I'm all geared up here to make signs. So they still do a lot of activism. There's a dump that takes out of state trash up near Dana's place that they've been resisting as much as possible. It's supposed to be a very small scale thing, and they've been just tractor trailer full of trash from New York City
from out of state
up here and dumping. And so they've been very active in that, but I haven't been too involved in it. But I'd be happy to help. I just didn't, you know, we haven't been connected. So as far as a place for making signs.
Well,
you know,
no, it's not just that. I'm thinking, you know, he has his grandchildren. He doesn't want to vaccinate. You got your kids. Could have a, you know, one day a week. It's Derek freaking hacker space. Learn something. Become self-sufficient.
Yeah.
Activism,
we'll
garden, kick
that.
Ass. Yeah. You know, this is, you know, what do you think they're learning now? They come out of 8 years. It's you know what the hell's going on.
I really looked at the school shutdown as an opportunity to bring over here and just shadow me. You know, just come and, you know, if I need a screwdriver, hand me a screwdriver. But you're present. You're soaking it up. I said, oh, this is great. They're going to learn way more in the next 2 weeks by hanging out with Dad. And now they're doing this, sit in front of your computer and remote into the school and listen to their crap from home.
Yeah, no, they literally are going to program you. They call it television programming for a reason. It's school indoctrination for a reason. Now they're going to get you to sit in front of you. They're sitting in front of the screen anyway. We might as well do it. And they're not going to learn. I tell you what, here's a game. We get to take a break. Let's play this game.
Oh, they'll make it fun so they can talk with their friends. And yeah,
absolutely. They wouldn't do that. That'd be wrong. They do wrong stuff, Ralph, you think?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Well, you know, one thing about Maine is our heritage here goes back to the Civil War when many people don't realize that Lincoln's first vice president was from Bangor, Maine, Hannibal Hamlin.
Really?
And, you know, the thing about Lincoln where he needed to borrow money to finance the Civil War, and he went to the banksters, and they wanted like 30%, so he said, the hell with you. And
made his own greenbacks over there.
The greenback dollar. That was a movement that started here. Yeah. And Maine lost more men per capita than any other state in the nation in the Civil War. So we have a real strong heritage of, you know, standing up. I mean, we left Massachusetts because we didn't like that. I'm a transplant. My parents were in the military, and I spent all my life, you know, in the military. And we came here when I was like, well, I showed up when I was like 23, so... Yeah. But you know the heritage, the people.
Why? It's cold.
I know.
Well, Bangor was a pretty big city because of the lumber back in the 1800s.
Was the lumber capital of the world. Yeah, all the English ships came here for their masts.
Yeah,
and
for the big white pine or whatever it is.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. So.
Wow. I mean, it's nice, and Derek's got it going on here and everything, but I'm just going, it's lake cold.
It's been pretty warm, Ernie.
Yeah.
It was like 20 degrees above normal, dying
Antarctica, but it's not freaking Phoenix. My kids are sending me, they're out picnicking and everything on the lawn. It's great. It's 80 degrees. They're just running around and kind of soaking up the vitamin D.
How was the snow driving home last night?
Oh, yeah. It got warm enough that almost everything melted.
Yeah.
You know, then I'm saying, hey, it's melted. I'm not slipping on the ice. And it starts snowing. And I go, seriously? Yeah. You know, so it kind of melted. It's gone now, I'm sure, you know. Yeah. But, it's one thing, you know, Derek, I know, he goes, I got winter time where he's in front of his computer. And then there's summertime for the, you know, 6 weeks you guys got summer, and he's outside doing whatever, you know.
Yeah.
But
the seasons matter. There's a certain pressure to get your winter stuff done in the winter because spring has come, and there's a certain pressure during the summer and fall to get done what you need to do outside because winter's coming.
Yeah.
You know, and I notice that when I go down to Arizona, New Mexico, other places which don't have these, you know, seasonal extremes, there's kind of a, well, maybe I'll do that tomorrow kind of attitude. And you don't have that, I think, in the North because there's an urgency to it.
Well, it is kind of, in Arizona, you wear gloves here because it's cold. Up there, we wear gloves.
You wear gloves because it's cold here. I haven't put gloves on since you've been here, I don't think. It's, you know.
I wear gloves because it's cold.
Damn skimpy. You know, but in Arizona, you wear gloves because it's radioactive.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
It's freaking hot. You can't touch any. God forbid it's metal.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And the only thing, nothing rusts. You know, you don't have that problem. That's why Derek needs to buy a pickup truck in Arizona, man. Yeah. You see these things here, every freaking bolt is a torch,
yeah.
You know?
A couple years old, too.
No, oh, God, it's just, I hate that. But yeah. When my son's in, when was it, 05, 06, around in 07, around in there, I got a car. They had a car. It was an old Ford Taurus. It didn't make it out of the state before the transmission went out. So I bought another car to give them. They do their 6-week, you know, brother thing across the country. I wanted them to do that. It would be awesome. Always, I didn't have a brother, and I thought this would be awesome. You know, I go, I'll make it happen, man. I'll buy a car, whatever. Here, take it. I drove it like 6 miles, and they took it, you know? And so they went, it was an Impala, Chevy, a couple years old. So it was a pretty nice car. But they went around the country. I said, pay attention. Bugs. Wherever you are, bugs.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
In Bangor, Maine, with Derek Slopey and Ralph. All right, now this is one thing. We were talking, yakking, and then the school system here in Bangor has, every kid has their own laptop. Now, what was interesting, in 2002 for the gubernatorial race, Barry Hess in 2 and 6, his big thing was, he goes, it says free or nearly free education for everybody, part of the Arizona Constitution of whatever. And it's supposed to be funded with our, you know, state land that produces leasing private. That's how it's supposed to be done. And, they bastardize it and how much they can rule you. But he goes, why don't we just get every kid a laptop? We're done. You know, that we can do that. There's your education, you know, rock and roll. Derek goes, yeah, they'd love that. That's what they're doing. Because, you know, they close the school, they're going to try and do you online with their government-issued laptop. So you got that device inside your house now. Yeah. So I'm going, yeah.
It's a Macintosh. You can't take the battery. I didn't think of that till we were just talking during the break. And, yeah, I'm going to have to take that laptop and put it in a locker at the house or something.
Yeah, you get a little Faraday of kiss my butt. Yeah.
So the administrative settings are all locked out for all those laptops, so the school administrator can control everything.
So they got cameras.
All software.
They got audio.
Yeah.
They got, go see the movie Edward Snowden. They're sitting there watching everybody's laptop around the world. Anything, you know, Wi-Fi and the internet, they're looking, seeing the Muslim women taking off their burqas. I mean, you know, this is NSA sitting there. Oh, Snow White, you don't know how deep the rabbit hole really goes. Let me show you. You know, I mean, this, you ever seen Snowden, the documentary?
Yeah.
You know, it's that kind of crap. And so I'm going, and they just passed a law. Your Congress, oh, yeah, we're stopping the FISA warrant thing. We're curtailing the blah, blah. I don't believe a damn thing they say. You know, I've had William Benny on many times from the NSA. He's going, no, that's why they went after me. I created the system to filter out United States citizens inside our border. It didn't surveil them. If it was all outside traffic, and they took it and flipped it around. I said, oh, we're getting everybody. You know, and he goes, nope, nope, and you're gone. You know, this is a whistleblower, and that's why he got in trouble. Because, you know, outing these guys. So I don't believe a damn thing they say. And if they're going to have, now they're going to use this to get, you're going to start hearing it, I guarantee it. I'm almost afraid to think it because it's like manifest it, you know. And they're going to go, yep, kids going home, they get their own laptop. Boom, done. Inside everybody's house. Their kid is going to grow up under total constant surveillance. Oh, you didn't do that? It's like they had, they called it, authority resistance disorder of something. I can't remember. It was some, like Alex Jones mental disorder they had. Authority opposition disorder.
Opposition. Yeah, it is.
Now, whatever the hell it was. And it had to be on the schedule, on their psychiatric whatever. It's a disorder to not want to be surveilled, to not just do what some lab coder badge tells you. That's a disorder now.
Isn't there one about health food, too?
Oh, yeah, I know. I'm sure they put everything in, you know, whatever,
called,
you know.
It's called Oppositional Defiant Disorder. It's called ODD.
Here, ODD.
Get down with ODD.
I'm get down with it, man. Get down with it. This is like a novel.
Mind Institute. Yeah, Oppositional Defiant Disorder.
Oppositional defiant disorder.
Act out sometimes, but children who have oppositional defiant disorder have a well-established pattern of behavioral problems that are more extreme than it appears. One way to distinguish how severe the behavior And how, well, yeah, it goes on. Being unusually angry and irritable, being easily annoyed.
Get closer to the mic.
Arguing with authority figures, refusing to follow rules, deliberately annoying people. Sound like any of our friends?
We're so ODD.
Blaming others for mistakes and being vindictive. So they're putting some things in there that, you know, probably children should be doing. But Dan, I mean, arguing with authority figures. I want my children to be able to argue with authority. You know?
This is. Nobody's paying attention to this. I know why you did it. You were afraid. Why wouldn't you be? Disease, war, you know, destruction, taxes. You know, of course. And then what do? They're going to do you a solid. They're going to send you $1,000. Hey, man, you took your $1,000. You took the bribe. You're in.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't see it as taking $1,000. You can just take it off my taxes, you know, or I just, you know, you'll screw you. I don't, you know, I'm so pissed. And then what do? They say, we're going to hold off on collecting income taxes for 90 days. April 15th, they're going to push back for a few months.
Thank you, Master.
Yeah, thank you. You know, may I have another, you know, this is, and well, you agreed. You totally agreed. Every time you download something,
Money is the only thing that they have. That's the tool that they have. You know, when we take their money, when we're worried about, oh, well, I better file my income taxes because they're going to cut me a big fat check. You're taking benefits from these people. You know, you've got to say no to this stuff, too. You can't.
Education.
You know, you can't unplug. Take their money and then think that you don't have that you're not their serf.
And what's some of the other systems? The utility grid, power, you know, you got power. You have the food, you know, we're seeing that now, you know, supplies and so on. A lot of this stuff you just make yourself. You know, it's like Ralph brings over a bottle of alcohol. There's your sanitizer. I mean, I don't know what the hell your problem is, you know. Yeah, that's one thing I'm going, you know, it's like Governor Cuomo, whatever, in New York. We're going to make state freaking hand sanitizer. Like, I don't need the state to do that for me. It's called alcohol, man. I don't know. What's in these Purell things? You know, alcohol. I didn't even look. It's alcohol, I'm sure.
Yeah.
It's a teeny tiny print.
Children with ODD often argue with adults. My God, would I want to be able to raise a kid that has the balls to have an argument with an adult? Of course. You don't want children that look at adults like as some sort of figure that are unapproachable.
No,
you know,
they want that. They want, I'm an adult, you will respect your elders.
I want my
kid
to tell me when I'm wrong. I want to learn from my kids. I want to listen to them. If he's got a good argument about something, I'm going to listen to it. And I'm going to congratulate him for standing up for himself.
That's what I do.
Okay, wait a minute. Yeah.
By the way,
Purell doesn't have a list of ingredients. The hell?
It should just be alcohol and glycerin or something, right?
It doesn't say.
I went to the drugstore.
Oh, wait a minute. I got to peel it off. Okay.
Yeah. I went to the drugstore this morning, and I picked up a gallon of aloe vera gel, a gallon, for $12.99. So I got one bottle of alcohol. I'm mix it together. I got my own hand sanitizer.
I got aloe vera plants. They're like weeds in Arizona. You plant one, and it turns into a monster. And it works well, too, for a lot of stuff, especially burns. I mean, it really, really, and, you know, bites and all this other stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, uses active ingredient. Oh, here it is. One thing. What is it? It's so small. Ethyl alcohol, 70%. That's it. Antimicrobial. It's got one ingredient. Ethyl alcohol, 70%. Okay. Is it anything? To say it's about, they puree it or something? What do they do? Directions, other information. Store below 110 degrees. Inactive ingredients. Here we go. Water, agua. Isopropyl alcohol, capril glycol. So that gives it kind of its, you know, sliminess. Glycerin, isopropyl mycetate, whatever the hell that is. Triferyl acetate, you know, sit there, brain damage, kidney failure, whatever the hell it is in here. There's a bunch of crap. I mean, you know, what is the active ingredient? It says active alcohol. Ingredient, ethyl alcohol.
Yeah.
Boom. And what do I, let's look over this alcohol. That probably cost a fraction of this. It's not $70. Stupid people, man. Stupid people. Okay, this is isopropyl alcohol. Now, ethyl alcohol, There are different alcohols. There's one for drinking. That's what. What kind of alcohol is that? Isn't that ethyl is corn or what they use from sugar? Yeah, I think that might be what you drink or something. Can you get drunk on Purell? You know?
Oh, true.
Put in ethyl alcohol. What is that?
Drunk on Purell.
Derek, just put ethyl alcohol. Okay, we'll find out when we come back. You know, because it's that freaking alcohol. You know? So here it has first aid antiseptic. Let's see. What's isopropyl alcohol do? Like kill stuff. Isopropyl alcohol, 50%. First aid, and it's an antiseptic.
Ethyl alcohol is grain alcohol, drinking alcohol.
Yeah, that's what Bob makes. Yeah. It's called whiskey.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Yeah, which one are you? Leave me aloneist, man. I'm just leave me alone. Okay, in the Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock telegram in there, there's a lot of good stuff in there, except Scott, quit being a butt. You know, it's just have something constructive to say, man. You're killing me. Okay, Jeff Green's, why does he have his name on there? I thought he's all clandestine about whatever. All right, so it's it. All right, Jeff goes, the DS, Deep State, launched not Donna Slopey, okay? That's the Deep State.
It is not Donna Slopey.
Scott, just because. The Deep State launched an asymmetrical attack against China and the world in Wuhan in October with the intent to affect color revolution and regime change in China, Russia, Iran, North Korea, and USA. You know, these countries all pop up. You know, that's very interesting. Purple Revolution is also serves as cover for the market drop, which was imminent. Achieves zero population growth and eugenic goals. Takes pressure off Social Security by killing old people and maximally pressures germaphobe and anti-vaxxer Trump also by destroying his wealth. Now we are bracing for the counterattack. Arizona government and news floating this morning to cancel all schools for rest of semester. But, of course, all school teachers, administrators, and staff will be paid. Of course they are. Let's see. Jay said, I wonder how well the rap will stick. Oh, yeah, they're talking about they want to wrap the whole bus.
Jay gets right back to business.
Yeah, whatever. we'll wrap the bus, you know, the whole thing, because everybody's yelling at me. All right. Jeff goes, cash will be outlawed, of course, because it's dirty and has viruses and crap on it. All right. Let's see. Oil prices are intended to knock Russia out of the fight. Everyone is going to need to stay home at least through end of May with curfews and National Guard patrolling the streets. Already in Arizona, they're peeling a conga line of Humvees and they're peeling off at exits. They're testing this stuff right now. You know, just I'm going, man, you guys are killing me. Asymmetrical Russian counterattack response warning received today in Salt Lake City. I don't know what that is. Scott goes, so how the hell am I supposed to know what Jeff meant by DS? Let me think. Yeah, ask him. You know, seriously. You know? Anyway, so this is what I want to understand here is that what Jeff is saying, and Jeff, he comes on once a year at the end of the year. He has a two-week vacation. And he takes one of the days out of his two-week vacation because he's a, you know, techie, geeky guy and the guy you want to say. So he comes on and he goes, let me tell you what's up, what I think is coming, and he's really good at it because – well, let's put it this way. He was heavily involved inside the campaign of Ron Paul in 08 and a little bit in 12. So he's politically, you know, got it going on. And what happened is he understands he's not like a conspiracy guy. He's just, man, I know from the inside. I'm in the, you know, the industry that he is and what he does. And he's sure I ain't saying he knows. OK, so this sounds very likely. You know, this is very likely. And I'm going, I think that the Russia thing I didn't anticipate as being part of it. You can see where that would be, because Russia, they're wanting Europe to boycott Russian oil. They go, we're paying a bunch of money to NATO to go up against Russia, and you're freaking funding them. You know, why the hell are you doing it? You need to buy our shale oil from Merca, you know? Yeah. And they go, oh, yeah? So you go cut their, you're not going to make any money. That's why Putin came out and said, we can go a decade at $20, $30 oil. It's like free, you know? And the power I need to pump the oil is the oil I pump it. So, I mean, you'll bring it on, some bitch. You know, we can get it on. So that's one thing. They're going after Russia's money. They got China. They want to do this, color rebellion, regime change thing. And that is the Soho debate in mid-May that you see advertised on the banner ads all over Freedom's Phoenix is what? It is Scott Horton and William Bill Kristol from PNAC guy, okay? Project New American Century and all those guys from the think tank of I Don't Care. So it's going to be, and the question is, is regime change a good foreign policy tool for America? I mean, it's like a stupid question, fine. And I'm like, bring it on. Scott Horton, I can't imagine that this thing is going to be done. It's going to be discussed, but they think, in light of all this, oh, yeah, we got to let people know that's what we're doing. That's how we do it. Asymmetric warfare against them. We're going to get, leaders changed because we can. And we're going to do regime change with the virus and kind of the sanctions of the SWIFT system of the money of whatever the hell. And you are driving people to their own systems. Good job, Jeff. I think you're, it's kind of what we've been, here we go. Okay, Ralph, you had something you wanted to say. I told you to remember.
Well, when we talked the other night or listened,
get up into the mic.
You were like talking about your experience and other people think, oh, you can't do anything about anything, and you did. It's public opinion that you need to affect. So just do what you think you should be doing, and the public will show up. But I give you a couple examples. Like when I started with the injured worker group, workers' comp, the whole state of Maine was shut down over workers' comp. It was that big a battle. They wouldn't sign the budget until they got their workers' comp changes that, took away benefits from the workers. Well, the governor, I wrote the governor and said, well, I'm the head of the United Injured Workers of Maine. I represent the injured workers here, which is what the workers' comp system is all about. Why don't you meet with us? Nope. Decided not to. So what we did is we had a blow-up of the governor, and this he had a picture. He was going like this, and we blew up the top half of him, like life-size, matted and everything. Yeah. And I called a press conference, and I told all the press, I sent press releases out. I said, the governor has agreed to meet with us on the steps of the Capitol, whatever morning. And we got there, and all the press was there, and in our Capitol building, you can ask for a podium. They give you a podium, so if you want to have a press conference there. We set it up. We, had him covered, and at the right moment, with all the press looking, says, the governor is here, and we took the cover off, and then I started lecturing the governor and telling him about workers' comp.
Yeah, see, you got Ralph Udeman. Yeah.
So, so that even got a little bigger because the press loved it. And then somebody whispered,
"Says up on the mic, man."
Somebody whispered, said, "Why don't we go see if we can get a meeting now?" So marched into the governor's office, so I'm standing there, cameras over my shoulders, and I'm asking for a meeting with the governor, and he agreed to meet with us.
There you go. Yep. See, you got it going on.
It wasn't a good meeting either. Yeah.
No, of course not. Okay, I want to get this, the ethanol thing. Ethanol is alcohol, for drinking, and you do distilling, you just do corn mash, sugar. You just put sugar in and it ferments, and you kind of heat it and you distill, because it evaporates at a lower temperature than water. So you just distill it, and that's moonshine. So it's moonshine. Purell is moonshine.
Wow. You can mix that with a little Sterno, and you could have a little cocktail.
Ooh. Derek, tell us about the distillery that was offering the
Am I up? There was a yummy.
There was a vodka company. Yeah, Donna saw it. I didn't even see it. She mentioned it to me. She said a vodka company put out a PR that said, please don't use our product as a hand sanitizer.
Yeah, stop thinking about boats. Right, right, right. Yeah. So don't use it as a hand sanitizer, which...
It is.
It is. It's exactly what this Purell stuff with the, some gel crap. Everybody's freaking out for $40. Going, you want some hand sanitizer? I got some moonshine. Bob makes him some hand sanitizer. Yeah, yeah. This is hand sanitizer. Some, you know the. I mean, GI tract sanitizer.
I mean, I agree. Don't use the good stuff for hand sanitizer. Get some cheap freaking vodka. You know.
Well, they have, you know, it's called the something, the wart. I don't remember what they call it. That when it first comes out, it's not good for you. It's like what makes you go torpedo juice blind or something. I don't know, whatever it is. You know, it's not good. You got to let it a little bit drip out for a while, and then you get to the good stuff, and at the end or something. But that could be the hand sanitizer. And I guarantee there's some distillery out there going, we're missing the boat here, man. You want it thick? Yeah, we'll put some glycerin in there and it's all good. A little aloe, whatever the hell. It's freaking whiskey. What do you think? Did you ever see a movie? They pour some whiskey on it and then they do the operation? Yeah, that's exactly what's going on. Get some whiskey. The Americans, you know, UK Americans paying $40 for stuff for $10. You guys go to the little liquor store. Oh, my God.
You're over-modulating, Ernie. Back up on purpose.